Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Ooh, ooh. So, ooh. Don't we have a fun show? Well, we always have a fun show, but I don't know. Every show seems more and more exciting. I guess.
Well, this one has a special new segment.
I forgot about that. Is that in this show? No, it's not in this show.
No, never mind. Stay tuned for the next show for that one.
Yeah, but we will talk about it because it is kind of fun.
Green Diva's Confessions.
Yeah, Green Diva Confessions or Green Dude Confessions, I guess, too. And we've started asking people in our videos, too, when we're talking to our celebrity friends and eco-warriors out there, mm-hmm. Green Divas and Green Dudes, we're like, so tell us, like, yeah. And it's really funny what people come up with, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I am just shocked how willing people are to just lay it out there, man.
Yeah, I think it's because we kind of put them on the spot.
Well, but we put them on the spot, but we also make them really comfortable.
Right.
You know, I am one of those people that, like, I'm sitting on a train going to New York and a stranger will start telling me their entire life story. So maybe we just help people put people at ease and then they feel really comfortable.
Give them a little relief that they can tell somebody.
But, you know, we also want to hear your Green Diva and Green Dude confessions. You can go to our Facebook page, either GDGD Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And or the Green Divas Radio Show page, either one is fine. And tell us what your Green Diva or Green Dude confessions are, because you know what, we got to keep a sense of humor. Nobody's doing it perfectly. We're just trying to do it, you know.
Just do it.
Just do it. Gee, that sounds like a slogan, man.
Yeah. Why didn't we think of that?
Great
show. Who we got this week?
Well, we have George Koronis, who is like an amazing adventurer. He's one of those explorer dudes from Canada.
Yeah, and he's a storm chaser.
And he's
got his own show.
Yeah, Angry Planet.
Bah.
But it's actually really intense. I watched one of their more recent shows, and he's a really neat guy. So you're going to want to make sure you stay tuned for that.
Definitely.
We also have a Green Divas My Earth 360 this week with Lynn.
Yes.
You know, we've had a few of those, but you have given up that spot for a few people, and this time you actually do a really nice segment for us.
Oh, thank you. What can I say?
Yeah, well, Lynn is good. This one, and we're going to start focusing the My Earth 360.
I'm a good egg.
You're a good egg.
Free range.
And 360 all the way around. So, but you're going to start focusing these segments on, you know, taking action, like one thing you can do, action mm-hmm. items. So I like that idea.
Yes.
And Green Dude Mike Novak is on to rant about his neighbor's lawn.
We love his rants.
He's great. We always have fun with Mike.
He's
but this
so
is
funny.
A really good segment about lawns because, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's kind of thinking about their lawns or whatever. It's a good segment.
I say F the lawn.
Yeah, I'm all about, yeah, F the lawn.
Our lawn is dandelions and Creeping Charlie and...
Dirt. I got a little dirt out front.
I'd like to change it all into a rain garden, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear his segment.
I'm working on that one. Then we also do have a Green Diva's Green Thumb segment with our favorite Wisconsin vegetable gardeners,
mm-hmm.
Joey and Holly Baird, and they're talking about kids in the garden.
Great.
Which is a fun one. And then we have a traveling Green Divas, and this time it's not us, you know, because we haven't traveled in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
but Carolyn Scott Hamilton, the
healthy voyager.
Yeah, she's great. It's nice to have her back, and this time she's talking about staycations.
Mm-hmm. I take a lot of those.
Yeah, I have too. And even though we travel quite a bit... lately, I have done a lot of staycationing over the last few years. And actually, there's some very, you know, serious ways that you can kind of manage that because it's very easy to, obviously, you know, get sidetracked and, like, I got to do laundry, I got to work. No,
mm-hmm.
no, you got to make it like it really is a vacation.
Right.
So we got some new fun things going on, right, Lynn?
Right on.
YouTube. We finally launched.
Oh, yeah, YouTube. We got the new YouTube channel, people.
Yeah, I mean, we have a YouTube. It's under my name, and it's not as, you know, this one is, you know, newly launched under the Green Divas banner.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a couple of new videos in there.
Right, and we need to upload all those from our
the other YouTube account.
Our archive.
Yes, yes. So that, and listen to GDGD Radio, our wonderful new network, the first ever green, mm-hmm. healthy living radio network on Earth, for the Earth.
And it's not just our show on there.
No.
A bunch of other ones.
We have some great shows and some new ones coming on board. So just keep listening, folks. Get the app and listen to the Green Divas radio show at 11 a.m. and again on at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You'll have to manage to figure out what time zone you're in. But anyway, that's it. So I think we got to launch into this fun show. So let people just...
All right, let's do it.
Go listen. Listen up, buttercups.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Well, you know, it's always my favorite day when I get to talk to one of our favorite Green Divos, Mike Novak, who has his own show on GDGD Radio, The Mike Novak Show. He's also an author. Are you a master gardener, horticulturist?
Yeah, I'm a master gardener.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been known to do that. And, you know, horticulturist, I guess that's, I don't know, it sounds like a fancy title.
It is.
Fancy for, but I'll pick master gardener. You know, and when in the past, occasionally I've done, helped people with their gardens and install things and put in plants and help them with their designs and stuff. And people say, "Are you a landscaper?" And I say, "No, I'm a gardener."
Okay? I'm not
going to go down that road because landscapers actually study that stuff. And most of the time, people hire me because I'm cheap, and that's.
I wish you were in New Jersey. Yeah.
So I could help you with your. So I could help restore your yard.
Yes, exactly.
I'd be happy to. You know, maybe I'm going to get out there at some point.
I know. And, play in the Green Diva studio.
Yeah, live and real in the Green Diva studio.
Well, I just want to say we had such a blast in Chicago for many reasons, but particularly hanging out with you was really a lot of fun, and we knew it would be, but, you know, so we got to figure out ways to do more.
Well, I had a great time with you. Yeah, you guys were fun, too, and going to the museum, the Shedd Aquarium.
Yeah.
And I apologize because we went to the Shedd Aquarium, and we saw more plants than we did sea animals.
Well, there's no reason to apologize, and in the end, you did get to interview that turtle, so, you know.
Exactly. But next time we're there, I mean, this is just a setup, so that next time we can go and look around. And
well, it was fascinating.
In the tanks and whatever else they have.
No, but it just was a little off-season to enjoy the gardens as much, but we really liked Christine Nye. And we appreciate your hooking us all up. And so we'll do that again when it's, you know, more blooming.
Yeah, she's the, for folks who don't know, is the horticulturist. She really is a horticulturist at the Shedd Aquarium. And you know, it's interesting because folks don't think about it, but when you have an aquarium, you do need a horticulturist, not only for the plants indoors, for the displays, but for the plants outdoors, because it's a big building and it's a public building, and it needs to look good on the outside, and you might as well have some natural areas. And she is really good at doing permaculture techniques.
Well, that's the thing. She's really working on, I mean, there are organic vegetable gardens, and there's butterfly stuff, and there's, you know, obviously a lot of native plantings, and it's pretty cool.
Right, and the point of all that, it is so wonderful, is that she's got a captive audience. All these folks who come into the museum, and a lot of times in the summer, the lines just stretch out forever.
Yeah.
And they stretch around the building. And now she has an opportunity to educate people about different kinds of gardens.
And she's just...
It's a wonderful thing.
And she's a hoot. If you ever get to meet her, she's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew?
She is irreverent. Yes.
Who knew horticulture could be so much fun?
So, but getting to gardens, had an interesting thing happen to me in the last few days that sort of knocked me off my perch.
Really?
I guess is a kind way to put it.
Oh.
We have this property next door to ours where the woman who lived there is in her 90s, okay?
Yeah.
And she was incapable of living there by herself anymore, so she's gone off to live with a cousin. She still owns the house and still visits it every once in a while. And her cousin comes and takes care of it, and that's where the issue started, because they have this wonderful backyard that has great sun, and Kathleen and I said, you know, let's put a vegetable garden in there, because there's lots of shade in our yard. Many years ago when we bought the house, I got real nutty about trees and I put too many in, and now I can't grow vegetables.
Yeah.
Because I don't have enough sun. But her yard doesn't have any. And so we thought, okay, this is a great idea. We're losing our community garden in the neighborhood this year. And we're very unhappy about that. It's, you know, like a lot of community gardens, we didn't own the land. We just sort of squatted on it for about 4 or 5 years with the permission of the owners.
Yeah.
And now they say they're going to build. And, so Kathleen and I were looking for a place to grow our vegetables, and we went, wow, next door's got all this sun. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And we talked to the cousin of the woman who owns it, and she said, sure, go ahead. And there's a big concrete slab in the back where the garage either used to be or they were planning one, and it never happened. Who knows?
Right.
And we put up one of those little portable greenhouses. A friend of mine gave it to me, believe it or not, about a dozen years ago, and I'd used it once, and not since. And so we hauled it out of the garage and we put it up. So our little greenhouse is sitting up there right now, and it's got seedlings in it. And when it's cold out at night, and this year it's been one of those springs where you get 75 degrees one day and 50 the next, and you got to be careful about that with these plants.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got this slab of concrete there, but we were going to dig in the garden area. And then last week, Friday, I believe, I came out and I saw the lawn had been mowed. And I went, well, that's good. I guess the cousin had come and mowed the lawn.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw her the next day and I said, oh, did you mow the lawn? And she said, yeah. And she said, I fertilized it.
Oh, no.
And all kinds of alarm bells went off in my head.
Oh, no.
Because I know what people use when they say fertilizer.
Yeah.
They're not talking fertilizer. They're talking weed and feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you use weed and feed? And she didn't really kind of understand what I was saying, because a lot of people are clueless about this. Their idea, they walk into the store and they'll buy, if it says fertilizer on it, they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, as she finds the bag and holds it up,
and sure enough,
it says weed and feed.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, really? You put poison on the grass?
Yeah.
And she still didn't quite get what I was saying. And I must have said it 5 times to her. You put poison on the grass.
Yeah.
And folks don't understand that when they buy weed and feed, there's stuff in there, like in this case, probably 2,4-D, which is a chemical that is one half of Agent Orange, that you put on your lawn so it kills weeds. And folks don't understand. There was a study that Ohio State University did and showed that folks who were using weed and feed, 3/4 of them didn't realize that there was poison in there. Or maybe, I'm sorry, I think I have it flipped. A quarter of them did not realize that there was poison in it. That,
right.
that, you know, there was herbicide. And, huh. and it makes me wonder, what did you think was killing the weeds?
Yeah,
if
right.
You had no idea that there was an herbicide in there.
Yeah.
So the problem was she had just put the weed and feed on the lawn, and now I can't go put my lovely organic vegetables on in an area that I was going to dig up. I was going to dig up some of that lawn.
Yeah.
And I suppose I could replace the soil.
Well,
now
could...
it's just become a lot harder.
Yeah, no, because I mean, now you'd
now
have
I'm
to do...
I'm looking at the half-life of 2,4-D and trying to figure out when it's not going to be potent anymore. And
yeah.
it's also affected by how much rain comes down. I mean, and on and on and on.
The yeah, you would have to you would have to build some kind of raised beds and cover that hole up and then fill up with all new soil.
Well, that's kind of what we're going to do. It's not so much the raised beds. I talked about that slab of concrete in the back.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of earth boxes.
Okay.
So what we started doing instead was putting the soil in the earth boxes, and we're going to be using those and growing a lot of stuff there.
There you go.
And at some point... I'm hoping to attack a little section of the yard itself, because I do want to get some, I mean, I can grow, you can grow pretty much anything in containers. There were some things I wanted to put in the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I can still do that. I'm hoping she doesn't put down any more weed and feed. And the problem is she didn't have a spreader. I don't know what her concentrations were, what she put where. She was probably... just sort of throwing it out there, and you just never know. You don't know exactly what.
I've got this idea.
What she's done.
Maybe you can help
what?
Me. I've got this idea, like between Roundup and these weed and feeds, and like this, like just this poison that, like, I work really hard. Okay, so my yard isn't perfect, but my neighbors are using all kinds of crap. I don't even like my dog to walk on their lawn when we're walking by. And I wonder, you know, I've got this fantasy of, like, doing this educational program and going around to municipalities and trying to help people understand that it goes into the water tables. It's, you know, neighbors are picking it up, kids are playing on it, and what this is really doing.
Yeah, I think it's a way to go. It's been hard to get municipalities to understand it. Now, in some states, that has happened. I believe in Connecticut.
Yeah.
They have laws about that. And in other states, there are laws that dictate when and when you can't use this kind of stuff in, say, athletic fields grounds near schools.
Right, in parks or whatever. But even if it isn't a law, if it's just educating your neighbors, I mean, even if it's just a neighborhood thing, like, people, please try to understand. Now, a lot of people are just going to thumb their nose and walk away and say, I don't want weeds, but...
Well, but here's the deal. Having just dealt with this and having listened to her say, she told me, she said, well, I use this on my lawn and I have wonderful grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, that's all she cares about.
That's the thing.
There's a disconnect here.
Yeah.
A complete disconnect where folks do not understand what they're doing or why they're doing it. And that's because we've been brainwashed by television to have a perfect lawn. And it's just not even the brainwashing in television. This is something that goes back a couple of hundred years, this whole idea that a lawn represents status. Some people say it goes back even farther than that to our us running across the savannas, escaping from saber-toothed tigers, and liking the open fields. It's possible that there is that kind of thing going on. But a lot of it goes back just a couple of hundred years in the idea that a lawn represented some kind of status. And so the better your lawn looks, the more influential you seem to be.
Yeah. Well... so we're going to have to get busy on that, you and I, come up with some kind of program, you know, hashtag no more.
Well, there are some really, there are people who have done this ahead of us.
Oh, okay.
And, there's safelawns.org. There is the, what's the coalition? There's a lawn care coalition.
Wow.
And I
Yeah, I mean, you know, that and I would rather have food, not lawns. I mean, if you're going to, you know, and first of all, like if you're in California, you shouldn't even have a lawn. You should, you know, be having something that doesn't require water. And why not have food? I'm you know, getting my husband, who's in that must have a green carpet out front thing, to, if we have a sunny area, let's do, you know, vegetables and fruit or whatever.
I worked very fast here, got my computer. I founded the Lawn Reform Coalition is one of them.
I like it.
And that's lawnreform.org. There's another one, National Coalition for Pesticide-Free Lawns. And you can find that at beyondpesticides.org. So
and
those
I imagine all of those places offer alternatives too, for people who still want to have a lush green lawn that don't want to use chemicals, you know.
Yeah, but it's true. And I will be honest with you, there are not the organic ways are a little more labor intensive.
Right.
And my whole dealing with it, my whole stand on it is learn to live with a few weeds.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I did the other week? You'll be very proud of me. I harvested a bunch of dandelions.
Yep.
We had them with our dinner.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I actually...
And not to mention...
I put my money where my mouth is, you know? I decided, okay, I've talked about this on the show, my show, and I've interviewed people about this. I thought, okay, let's do this. So we had dandelion greens with dinner, sautéed in garlic and onion. And
that's awesome.
Wasn't that bad.
Not to mention, dandelions are really good for honeybees. So just leave them or use them. But you don't have to kill them. You don't have to poison them,
right,
for sure.
So, and as you know, they're everywhere, so they're also cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mike, another fun episode, and I think this is going to be a gardening segment because it's really all about some practical lawn thinking. You know, come on, people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is get people to start thinking differently. We have to break out of this mindset,
yeah,
and move forward into the 21st century and stop clinging to the old paradigms of what a lawn is like, what our neighborhoods are like.
Yeah.
Move on.
That manicured thing. Get over it. All right, Mike, I hope we talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye.
Take care.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 Report for the latest eco-news bits from around the globe. Carefully curated and born by our need to say, WTF! But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth. And together, we can make a difference. Wow, it's been a while since Green Diva Lynn has done a My Earth 360. She's been giving her time to some other folks, but this week you've got something for us, right, Lynn?
Shall know.
What did you say?
I said shall know.
Shall know. Like
Shell Oil Company.
Got it. Oh, my gosh, yeah. So
there's a hashtag shall know going around.
Oh,
and
cool.
And that is because they got the go-ahead, they got the green light, which I think should be called maybe the red light from the Obama administration.
Now, what's up with that?
To drill in the Arctic.
Yeah, that's actually really upsetting. I kept thinking, no, that can't be true.
That's why they're saying shall know.
Oh.
There were thousands that gathered in Seattle to say shall know because they'll be kind of operating out of Seattle with their big polar Arctic, I don't know, machinery.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crazy thing is that the Department of Ministry determined that there is a 75% chance of a major oil spill. So
yeah, that's a pretty high percent. I mean, I could see even 10% would be too much for me, but, you know.
Right. And, of course, Shell has a whole page on their care of the environment and the Arctic, and they work well with others and all this other stuff, and, you know, this is oil and gas that we need, et cetera, et cetera.
Really?
Yeah, but they still need permits, so it ain't over till it's over. So there is still action we can take.
Okay.
There's a petition on the nrdc.org website.
Okay.
It's on their homepage. I'll also post some stuff about this.
Okay.
Photos of all of the, what they're calling, kayaktivists.
I saw that.
Yeah, all of these kayaks got together, and it was quite the imagery.
It was
awesome. Some of those photos.
Those overhead or whatever they, you know,
right.
the photographs.
Aerial shots.
Aerial shots. Thank you.
Yeah, you're usually more articulate than I am.
I know. Not today. They were spectacular. And I didn't even know what it was at first. All these
right.
colorful little sticks. I'm like, what is that?
Some people commented that a lot of those were plastic, which are made from oil.
Well.
But, you know.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
It is.
Oh, man. You just can't. Yeah, you can't even kayak for a good cause anymore.
No, I know.
Give it a rest.
So that is really the action of the week.
It is the action of the week. So,
and follow Shell Know. Hashtag Shell Know.
Well, and let your voice be heard. You know, tweet out what you think about all this and say Shell Know if indeed you don't agree with Arctic drilling, because I sure don't.
And hashtag hashtag Green Divas, and we'll engage with you on Twitter.
Yeah. Lynn is really good at amplifying your voice on Twitter.
I am a social media activist and addict.
Yes, the double A.
12-step program I'm looking into.
Oh, right, that's now. Right. SMAA, Social Media Addicts Anonymous. No, don't go there, Lynn. You'll ruin it.
I know.
Well, I think this is great, and I'm heartened because there is still stuff we can do. We can make a difference, perhaps, in whether these permits happen or not.
Make our voice heard.
All right, people, get
your
active.
Your voice counts.
It does. And thank you, Green Diva Lynn, for bringing up this important topic.
Thank you.
Get all the details from this Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's THE, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
This is Gardening in 2 Minutes.
Kids in the garden are a lot of fun to have. It's fun to have kids in the garden. They are going to learn from that. They are enthusiastic about being in the garden. And sometimes they even eat the dirt.
Whether it's your kids, your relatives, or your neighbor's children, it's always a fun activity to have them and have them learn. Now, if you have children that you know what I'm going to say, don't expect to get a whole lot done if you have the kids in the garden. But it's a great experience and a wonderful event to have them ask questions about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Right, and also it's good for them to see something come to fruition. So, for example, you can plant radishes, and radishes grow quick. They grow in about 30 days, and you plant the seed, and then before they know it, by the time, you know, whatever, they have radishes right in front of them. Same thing with a lot of root vegetables are pretty amazing to kids because you don't really, I mean, you'll see the tops growing, but you don't know what's going on underneath the soil. It's a little mystery to them. And you can even do fun stuff like take a clear container, plant some seeds near the edge of that clear container, and see it grow and sprout. So that's one thing that's kind of fun. Another vegetable that kids like to grow are tomatoes, especially cherry tomatoes, because they can go ahead and just pick those off the vine and eat them. And so that's fun too. And if the kid wants to play with the shovel and the dirt and stuff, let them try it out, because the more acclimated they are to it, the more likely they're going to help in the future.
If you want to know more about kids in the garden and check out some of the photographs that we have with our nieces and nephews, you can find all that information on our website, as well as our weekly video productions and our free downloadable digital quarterly magazine. All that can be found at
thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
For Gardening in 2 Minutes, I'm Joy Baird.
And I'm Holly Baird.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
In March of 2011, a massive tsunami engulfed Japan, making headlines around the world. Now, 2 years later, debris from the event is not just showing up on the shores of Hawaii, but threatening an entire ecosystem. More after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
Hawaii has long been a dream spot to vacation and explore the islands. But on Kamilo Beach, the view is being blotted out by wave upon wave of plastic garbage. Hawaii is the catch basin of the Pacific. All manner of human waste floats in piles and becomes a serious hazard to wildlife. One species of fish called the lancet had 45% of its population with plastic bags in their stomachs leaching toxins. Lancet are a favorite feeder fish for yellowfin tuna that eventually ends up on our plate. When it comes to the environment, what happens to some of us eventually becomes a problem for all of us. I'm Bill Curtis for Earth Matters.
Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. Well, it's just been entirely too long since we've talked to the beautiful Carolyn Scott Hamilton, who is the Healthy Voyager. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And I love the topic for today. I did it for a lot of years, one of the lean years, and we got creative. But I think you're going to talk a bit today about staycationing.
Yes.
Which I love. I've actually had some really good staycations. So tell us what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, you know, summer's coming up and, you know, there's that pressure of, like, planning the best trip, whether it's for you and your spouse or you and your family. You know, where are we going to go this year? And, you know, as the time kind of ticks away, things get more pricey.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to find that perfect destination. But sometimes having a good staycation is fantastic because it's budget friendly, it's eco-conscious, and you can be a tourist in your own city or at least your own region and discover things that you might normally not, because most of us tend to not go to the touristy things in our cities.
Yeah, here's a Green Diva confession. I have lived, you know, right outside with commuter distance to New York City my entire life. Well, all right. A few years I was away in the Berkshires, but honestly, I've been here most of my life, and I have never been to the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly.
Isn't that ridiculous? I know. We almost went 1 year. It's like too – I'm not going to waste time talking about it, but ridiculous. We were actually on the boat, and then the boat just – it was like the last thing of the day, and they decided that we never got off the boat. We just went by it. It was like, what? Are you kidding?
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, most people will tell you that live in cities that have some kind of, you know, monument or historical, whatever it might be. Most people who are residents of that city don't check out those touristy things.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be touristy things. It's, you know, that little town that you've heard of that's only an hour away, you know, things like that, you just don't really discover your own area. You leave. So, you know, whether it's, you know, budget conscious or time, you know, not everyone gets the whole summer off like kids do,
right.
You know, but you just want that simple getaway to recharge the batteries.
Well, I,
you know, a staycation can be great.
I know over the years when we had our lean times that we would plan like several different things. And that was the key to up for us was planning. Because if we didn't plan, it was just like, it's too much work to do at the last minute. So you have to really like, you know, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot that goes into planning a real destination vacation. You know, it's the airfare, it's the hotel, it's budgeting the meals and the things and the attractions that you want to see. You know, it adds up time-wise as well as money-wise.
So, right, right.
You know, with something that's fairly local and drivable, you know, it's just kind of finding the place, checking it out, getting there, and it's a lot easier. You can even do really fun stuff within your own home. I mean, most of the time, and in this day and age, I don't know many people at all that get to enjoy home time.
Oh, God, no. Because you're always, like, I got to do laundry. I got to fix that. I got to plant the garden weed. I got to do something, you know.
Exactly. Or we're, you know, on our computers as soon as people get home from work, and then it's just the constant go, go, go. And there's no, you know what, I'm going to get up late, and then I'm going to curl up and read a book, or I'm going to build that shelf that I wanted to build that I've had on the to-do list.
Right.
You know, whatever it might be, we don't get time to really enjoy our homes. So, you know, whether it's camping in the backyard with your kids because it's cheaper and you can use the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know, having like a fun camp out in the backyard or having a spa day in your own home, you know, putting on the robe, putting some aromatherapy on, taking a hot bath, maybe having a masseuse or massage therapist come to the house, you know. So really just enjoying your time at home can be just as beneficial as getting away, you know, and really just staying put can help.
You know, and like I said, for us, it was just about planning, like putting a pin in the calendar. This is the day that we're going to go into the city to the museum and just like make ourselves like it. We're going to do it. And then I told you we'd done an article about this a few years ago in my old magazine. And one of the things we talked about was discovering some of the nature around you, too, because sometimes there are parks and hikes and all kinds of, you know, bird or nature reserves that you don't even know are there.
Yeah. I mean, botanical gardens. I mean, there's nothing like taking an hour or two to walk through nature, whether it is a hike or it is the local botanical garden or you know, the park, just to get out and away from all the things that we're dedicated to day in and day out can be a real getaway and just so good for the soul, you know, just to recharge and breathe.
Well, you know, because a vacation for so many people, it's the only way we can rip ourselves away from our daily world enough to get that sort of like, oh, yeah, perspective, reality. It's not that bad. So, you know, it's just I think it takes a little bit more mental effort, perhaps, to really say, like, look, this weekend, it's all going to be about, you know, like our, you know, camping in the backyard weekend or whatever it is. And kind of claiming that and making, I think personally, like we need rules, you know, computers are off or whatever it is.
Yep. Don't go online. I started this thing about a year ago called the hashtag web free weekend.
Ooh, I love that.
So then, you know, that way you say goodbye on Friday, you come back on Monday and guess what? You haven't missed much. You know, you don't have to be glued to social media and the computer all weekend. And it's such a good digital detox.
You know,
just get away from it all and kind of step away because, you know, most of us think, oh, the sky's going to fall if I'm not online all day, you know. And we learn pretty quickly, especially on vacation, that that's not true. You know, life goes on.
I know it's kind of sad in a certain kind of way, but, you know, I actually have learned to do that. And I actually did a guided meditation about digital detox that I need to do more often than not, but I pretty much learn. I minimize my I sometimes don't even open my computer on the weekends. Now, that's not to say I might not play a little around on Instagram or some things like that, but I have more. That's more personal fun, like it's with the kids or something.
Right, right. Yeah, you're not checking emails
no.
and responding.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, this is all really inspiring, and I think I'm going to, you know, talk to my husband about doing something fun this weekend.
Yeah, you know, even if it's just a day to say, you know what, today we're not making any plans. We're going to see where the day takes us. Or even if it's like, you know what, I've been wanting to stay at that cool hotel on the beach. Let's just go there for the night, you know, and sit by the pool. You know, it really is just that taking the time to say, let's take a break. We all need it.
Yeah.
And discovering something new in your hometown.
Well, this has been a very fun and inspiring segment. So, Carolyn, let's not wait too long till you call in again, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
And everybody can go to healthyvoyager.com to find out more great ideas from Carolyn, and I'm sure she'll share something on the Green Divas website as well.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Wow, this guy is so amazing. And, you know, he puts himself on the front lines, literally, of the angry planet and the effects the climate change is having in intensifying storms, natural disasters. I just got finished watching an episode of Angry Planet where George Karunas was on the front lines of like some of these fires that are like crazy. Oh my! And like, I know they're bad in California, but apparently Australia, like, this is becoming an enormous task to manage these fires during certain times of the year. So anyway, he's an explorer, a storm chaser, a global adventurer among many, many things. George Karunas. Hi, George.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And, yeah, so in preparation, you know, I read up and I I'm watching the video of this Australian, and I don't know if that's a full episode that's out there yet or it's a teaser of what's coming up.
That's the full episode. So you got to see the Adelaide Hills fire, which was the worst forest fire, or bushfires they call them, in Australia in the past 30 years. And I just happened to be there the day that it happened, and I was embedded with the fire team. It's a phenomenon that's becoming more and more common down there.
Oh, that's upsetting. And I, you know, there are storm chasers out there that just, you know, they're doing it for the thrill. But I like that you're out there trying to help us all understand and really get a clear visual of...
Well, yeah, absolutely. What I try to do is go to the most extreme places on Earth, places that are undergoing transition, quite often through climate change.
Yeah.
And I like to show people exactly what's going on right there, where the most effect is being impacting, you know, the local people and such.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be sitting in, let's say, your suburban home in Chicago, where it's not necessarily affecting you, and it's
right.
a distant thing. But for some of these people in a lot of the places where I visit, it's very much affecting their day-to-day lives in a serious way.
Well, that's what I love is that, you know, right from the get-go, you're asking people and experts and people in the local communities, you know, how is climate change affecting this? And is it, and of course, the answer that I've seen so far is always, oh, yeah. Climate change is intensifying everything and making everything more extreme and more difficult to deal with.
Absolutely, and we're just going to see more and more as time progresses. It's a slow change, but as we get more carbon in the atmosphere, of course, you get more of these extreme events at the far end of the scale, so worse droughts, more frequent floods, things like that, potentially stronger hurricanes. So it's something that we're going to have to just keep preparing for in the future, because I don't think it's going to back off anytime soon. We definitely need to keep that in the front of our mind.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the list of things you've done, and, you know, among them, you've been in the jungles of Rwanda, hanging with those amazing gorillas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shark cage. Okay, that's, you know, so you're an adventure guy in general, but all of it does seem to help highlight issues, whether it's animals being threatened by, you know, extinction because of human or climate change. But did you get married on the edge of a volcano?
Yes, absolutely I did, yes.
Wow.
It is a small island nation of Vanuatu. It's located between Fiji and Australia. And that's where I had my wedding ceremony, on the crater's edge of an exploding volcano that's been erupting every 5 minutes for the past, 800 years or so.
Really?
So I knew it was very reliable. It was the kind of volcano where I knew I could go there and there would be some kind of action going on. And 2 days before the wedding, I actually rappelled 60 yards down inside the volcano and had to dodge chunks of glowing lava flying through the air. So it was a pretty dramatic couple of days. Popped off, of course, with a spectacular wedding ceremony.
Now, does your wife, like, enjoy the adventure as much as you, or is she sort of let you just do your thing?
Well, not nearly as much as me. I mean, most of the time when I'm traveling on expeditions, I'm either filming or I'm working or I'm trying to do documenting these natural disasters and such. So she's got a business back in Toronto, so she's not able to come with me most of the time. So
right. It's
just not practical.
Okay. Now, I was thinking about your camera crew. Now, there was a couple of moments in this episode I watched where it looked like you may have had, you were alone with a camera that you were holding from a pole. Because do these guys follow you everywhere?
Well, almost everywhere. My main cameraman, he's funny because he'll come with me 90% of the way, and then the rest, he says, that's what long zoom lenses are for. So he'll zoom in on me when I'm getting up close to the fire or up close to the volcano, and then I'll bring a small camera with me so that I can talk to the camera, sort of up close and intimate with the camera in these extreme danger zones. But I try to limit my time in those places because the longer you linger, the more likely bad things are going to happen. And I'm pretty proud of my safety record so far. No major injuries. I've never been hospitalized in 18 years of doing all these crazy adventures.
Knock on wood.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
I hope it goes that way.
Knock on wood, you know, but clearly you're not insane. It's not like you have some kind of death wish or you want to push the envelope in that way. You're trying to do a job, too. You know, I mean, I think it's really vital that we see through you, but up close and as personal as possible, the way that you bring it to us, the effects, because I honestly had no idea that was going on down in Australia.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's part of what I love to do is sharing these places and these moments, these instances in time that will never happen again. And there's not that many people in the world that have the kind of knowledge and experience that I have to be able to go and do this in so many different types of environments. So I sort of take on the task of absorbing the risk in order to show people these amazing places and the changes that are happening on a planet. So I don't mind having that burden. I enjoy it. I love it. I get a thrill out of doing it. So that you don't have to, basically.
Right. Well, you're channeling that energy in a really positive way. You know, you're not like, you know, there are some crazy people out there that, you know, maybe aren't doing as much good with it. So my question.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't consider myself that much of an adrenaline junkie. I don't jump out of airplanes every weekend and things like that.
Every weekend.
He says. Absolutely. But I think I'm helping to provide a service and showing the world what's going on.
Oh, you definitely are.
I love that.
So here's the question. What has been probably the scariest moment where you thought, oh, okay, this might be it? I've crossed the line and my number's up.
I was in a cave in Kenya a few years ago, and this cave is known for having an Ebola-type virus in its bat population inside the cave.
Oh.
And I was actually bitten on the finger by one of these bats.
Oh.
And I didn't know if I had a week and a half left to live or if my internal organs were going to turn to jello and liquefy. So that was pretty scary.
That is kind of scary. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then sort of in that...
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, do not try this. And it's funny that you mentioned bats because we've been having this bat thing in our house, and we just can't. It's not like the bat caves in Kenya, but, you know, I'm having my own little bat cave issue. Relentless, these bats. They love us. I'm so flattered, but could they live outside, please? Anyway, so the next question I have for you is, what's been like the most astonishing, like the thing you just went, I had, you know, just like me, I'm kind of astonished. I never saw, you never knew about the Australian. What was the most shocking thing you learned out there?
Probably one of the most amazing things that I've been able to experience was I did an expedition for National Geographic Society 2 years ago in the desert of Turkmenistan, which is in the middle of nowhere, just north of Afghanistan. And there's a crater in the desert that's about 100 feet deep and 230 feet wide.
Wow.
That is full of fire. They were drilling for natural gas. The rig collapsed. They lit it on fire, all the leaking gas.
Yeah.
In 1971, and it's been burning ever since.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. That's just bizarre.
I led an expedition, stretched ropes across, rappelled down to the bottom in a special heat suit with an air supply,
and was able
to take soil samples and found extreme bacteria living in the soil in this amazing place that no one has ever been to. More people have set foot on the surface of the moon, and we were looking to see if any type of life could survive in that hot, burning, methane-rich environment to potentially help in the look for life on other planets.
Right.
So I had a microbiologist with me. I had people from the National Geographic Society. And we actually were able to make this discovery that no one knew was down there. So that was absolutely remarkable.
Wow, that is. I mean, you're like an explorer. You might as well have been on Mars, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It was glowing orange from the fire, and no person had ever stood there. And I was wearing a special protective heat suit, so I felt like an astronaut setting foot on another planet and just looking around. It was like standing in the bottom of a coliseum of fire.
I'm sorry, I'm just like incredulous. I can't believe that people do this stuff. You are so cool. So, or hot. Or hot, as it were, because you were, you know, in a special suit. All right. So, you know, Angry Planet is not just, you know, it's really, the premise has to do with understanding these extreme conditions around the planet and that are probably enhanced and intensified by climate change, and to help share with all of us, like, this is not just some theory. This stuff's happening.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the science is very clear. We know what's going on. And one thing about Angry Planet is that we don't want to just showcase these things. We also want to educate as well. It's
right.
Not just an adventure show. There's an educational aspect there. People
right.
get to see parts of the world that where climate change is happening right now in some dramatic ways, and helping give people some ideas of maybe ways that they can take part and make some change.
Well, I'm really, I you know, I'm looking forward to watching more because it was very educational for me, and I'm assuming that all of them really are going to be. And, you know, in the photography of where you are, and you do such a great job. So tell people how they can find the show and when, you know, when the next season is coming up.
It's on Pivot TV, which is a relatively new network. They're great. They're very much about social responsibility and such. So check your cable listings, as they say. And we've got a couple more episodes yet to air right now. We still have a few more to film this summer,
okay.
which I'm very much looking forward to, which I don't want to make any spoiler alerts here, but they will be airing sometime at the end of the year. So I'll be sure to let everyone know when those are coming up. So it's very exciting. Got some brand new adventures coming up. I'm in the middle of my tornado chase season right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just the adventure never stops, and it's going to keep continuing.
Well, thank you for putting yourself out there and sharing what you're experiencing with all of us. And I'll look forward to talking to you again soon, I hope.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, George.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.